Call to order the September 14th, 2023 meeting of the Laws, Rules, and Government Service Committee.
I move we accept the minutes.
Can I get a second?
Second.
All in favor of accepting the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes accepted. All members are present with the exception of Legislator Levine, who is still at NYSAC. We'll start, since we have the county attorney here, and Legislator Maloney, the sponsor, we'll start with resolution number 553 out of order, if that's okay.
Move it.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Legislator Maloney.
So, I'll be honest, it's a little frustrating that a basic, transparent, good government law like this is fought by the county attorney's office. It came to my attention just yesterday that, of course, there's issues. The county attorney is not here to talk about the bizarre appraisal of Paradise Lane or the Bert Golnick investigation we're not allowed to see, 701 Grand Avenue, and who told him not to foreclose for years. He is here to fight good government, even though the county attorney's office is supposed to work for the sheriff, for us, for the people, but it just seems to always be the personal attorney of the executive. John Parody wanted to look into that. I think we need to, going into next term, what we can do about the personal attorney being the county attorney. So this is just solidifying what is already, I believe, state municipal law, which is you can't hide, or the county cannot be the ones hiding behind non-disclosure agreements when we settle after we discriminate or abuse or mistreat or harass or slander. So all this does is guarantee even more that we don't do what we just attempted to do in the Kosover case, which is pretty much illegal the way I understand it. I heard two arguments last night in caucus from the executive's office. One was, we don't want to help when somebody's suing the county, an employee that's being abused, whatnot, is suing the county. We don't want to help them come up with a plan. Their lawyer could more easily look, if I'm understanding right, at the settlements. Now, these are foilable, even if we didn't put them forth. So an attorney could foil and get those settlements anyway, but we might make it even easier. That's one reason not to have this transparency. Not to side with the victim, not to protect the aggressor. The other one I heard was it might encourage people to sue. So people might go, geez, the county executive stepped out of line, slander somebody, there was a settlement. Why don't I make something up? So we should hide these things because of that bizarre scenario. Those are the two things I heard last night. But then after it didn't seem to move the room, we heard that there was something global that the county attorney was going to come tell us about. Something that was even more, wouldn't tell us last night in caucus, but there was another big reason, as you remember, Phil, and it was, quote, global, I believe. So here we are. The floor is yours. Tell us about this global reason not to have transparency when we abuse somebody and get sued and try to cover it up.
Do you want to speak, Clint?
Sure. Well, first and foremost,
is there any reason we're going to executive on this? Or?
If you feel there's a need.
Clint, is there any attorney-client privilege material that you're going to get into in your discussion, or we can move it to executive if there is?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
And if we,
no.
Happy to do so if folks feel more comfortable or have a legitimate reason.
Good public conversation.
All right, please go ahead.
Yeah. With all due respect, Legislator Maloney, regardless of how you feel personally about certain things, I just want the room on the record. I'm the county attorney. I am your county attorney. I'm not one specific department's county attorney. I am the entire county. I represent all branches of the county when it comes to you. And you guys I've been with the county for almost 15 years. Some of you know me very well. I do not get into partisan politics. That's not my job. My job is to be the best county attorney that I can possibly be. And I strive to do that every bloody day that I come to work. So I take offense at your comments.
I take great offense.
The county attorney has the floor. Joe, let's
let him pontificate here.
I gave leniency on all sides.
Yes,
the county attorney has the floor.
So, please, if you don't mind.
I didn't address you.
The county attorney has the floor.
He's not supposed
thank
to address
you,
me, Your Honor.
So, with regards to this, I'm urging the legislature not to adopt this resolution. Why? Several things. Yes, a couple of things that Legislator Maloney spoke to about. Yes, we are opening this. This will end up costing the county so much more money on a couple of different fronts. One, yes, you're opening up the county's purse, plaintiff's counsel, to let them know how much the county is willing to settle cases for. You're putting it out there. Do we want to do that? That's going to cost us a heck of a lot more money in the long run. Two, we have our insurance underwriter, our carrier, NIMR. So what we have here is NIMR potentially raising our premiums somewhere down the road when NIMR has to settle these cases for a heck of a lot more money than than it would have to. Plus the potential of us, NIMR, and again, I'm not sound trying to be alarmist, but somewhere down the road where NIMR is forking out these exorbitant amount of money to settle, where do we think we're gonna end up? We're gonna end up with NIMR dropping us. And who's gonna pick us up? Yeah. Now, do we want outside counsel to know every trip and full case how much we're paying? And I know he's legislator Maloney is talking about victims, but you have to look at the flip side of this. There are settlements that we have that if there are sexual abuse cases, if there are cases coming out of DSS, we cannot. Have those published. Why would a victim want to have their information published back in the second? So those are the two major reasons why I'm asking the legislature, this committee, to abandon this, because this is at the long run gonna hurt a county. And that's the only reason why I'm here. And I feel very, very strongly about this.
Thank you. Legislator Rock.
Thanks. Through you, Mr. Chair, to the county attorney. Are the terms of these settlements sealed, or are they available via FOIL?
Yes, they can be FOILed, but there will be certain settlement agreements where NIMR will insist that there be a code of confidentiality about them. And we would not, even if they're foiled, in cases of sexual harassment or sexual abuse, we're not going to. We would never release those.
Right.
So why have a resolution to publish to publish and make public some of them when not all of them can be done? So we're going to choose to put some out when they're in fact by law. Or operation of the settlement agreement itself, you can't publish them. So what's the purpose of doing that?
Do you have any follow-up?
Yeah. Would you object as vehemently if the last portion of the resolved, starting with and contemporaneously, posted on the county's website, would you object as vehemently if the legislature were just more privy to these goings on, especially when it's the county budget, we're the appropriators, and it's the county budget that gets hit when we've got to spend quite a sum of money on what was probably an unnecessary defamation case. I think that there was a specific instance that gave rise to this resolution, not just that one, but I'm pretty sure that when a candidate for the legislature foils it and then releases it to the public, rather than legislators finding out from the county itself. I mean, that's I would I would support this without the last portion, without that last bit about publishing it. I think that legislators should have the right to know these things.
And you do, in fact, know about these things. I mean, I do a monthly report. I do a monthly report for all litigation that comes in. Legislative Council gets that that monthly report that I put together every single month.
That report is gonna note to the legislature that there's a notice of settlement, but that's the only thing that's on there. No terms, no specifics, nothing like that. No. You know, how much money is being paid out by the insurance company versus how much the county is going to have to pay out of our funds. You know, so the legislature is aware that there's a notice of settlement, but then we would then have to go to OCA and foil it.
Correct.
As a departing legislator, I mean, you know, that's of concern to me that the county attorney's office is concerned about legislators finding out about things.
No.
I respect the concern about publishing it on the website, because that really does, you know, create an easy to discern roadmap on how to sue us. But any attorney worth their salt, if they're going to be suing the county, is probably going to be foiling all this stuff anyway.
Yeah, well, that doesn't occur. I can tell you, my 14 years, that doesn't occur on a regular basis anyway. Or I can't even think of one instance where that has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And I've reached out to, just so you know, I've reached out to all, I sit on the board of directors for the County Attorneys Association, and I've reached out to all of my colleagues, and they, to a person, where absolutely their county does not do that, and they would not advise us to do something like that.
Inform legislators or the posting part?
The posting.
Yeah. I understand. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney?
Ken, you got a great saying that you use about sunlight being the greatest disinfectant.
Greatest, yeah.
You know what's funny about this whole thing is we just recently requested, the person suing us and settling didn't even request the NDA, some of the county did, which literally violates the law.
That's a misstatement right there.
Look.
Legislator Molly, continue.
I'm getting this from Chris Rigucci, so you can take it up with him. But you guys often disagree about transparency, but I'm talking. So another thing I hear about, how much money this is going to cost us. You know what costs us a lot of money? Is lawsuits against the county for the powerful people in the county recently, our former commissioner of finance and our former executive, doing things they shouldn't do to people. That's what's costing us money. Not the idea that we're transparent about it. Maybe if more transparent about it, it would happen less, because people know there'd be accountability, and accountability would be, the public would know, and there'd be blowback. You know, if you really cared about money, maybe you would have released that report to us about Mr. Golnick, and we could have avoided a couple of active lawsuits right now, according to the...
I'm not here to speak on that.
You don't have to.
John.
Please continue.
And which our attorney agrees we should see. We should have seen it a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. But you're here talking about worrying about how much money it's going to cost us, but yet you've cost us money with your incorrect not giving us of information. Look, Ken, if you're more comfortable just getting it to the legislature for now, let's at least do that. But I've had enough. The idea that we were sued, we had done wrong. By the way, that lawsuit was in large part against the county executive personally, indemnity he did not have. And we have county attorneys that even believe that. But we go and government tax dollars fly out the door because of these decisions of the powerful in this county. And we're asking for NDAs to keep it secret, protect those powerful people. I'm very happy to be on the side of this, that I'm on the side of transparency and giving the public. And let us not forget whose money it is. Ultimately, whose money it is. It's the public's money, the taxpayers' money. But the taxpayers aren't allowed to know where their money's going and why it's going that way. That's what I'm hearing here from our county attorney. So I hope my colleagues, at the very least, I hope they pass it this way in its full form, and we shine light on the ugliness that has been going on in this county and settlements, and we let the taxpayer know where their money's going. But at the very least, I hope at least we empower the legislature, and us as elected officials are allowed to know where our constituents' money is going.
I just have a quick. I'll get this quickly. Then, if you want to respond.
I have so much misinformation in my life.
Oh, what was misinformation? Please go ahead.
Come on.
I have never heard so much misinformation.
I'm right back.
Speaking loudly and vehemently does not make information true.
I'm asking for specifics, my friend.
So, sir, I am not going to get into this. I am not going to get political. Do you understand that?
Believe me.
Please.
We're not going to entertain this.
Bully
legislation.
Please continue.
Look, I don't control who sues the county. I never do. No one does. None of us do. All I can do from my chair is when the county gets sued, is to make sure that we're protected. And I do the right thing for the county. And that's all I do. I come to work every day. I give everything I have for this county. I have no personal beef, no personal anything to gain from anything besides come to work and do my job.
Thank you.
I have no political affiliation with anyone or anything. All I try to do is do my job as the best I possibly can.
Thank you. I have a quick question on this resolution. In terms of plaintiffs and or victims, if they don't want their settlement published, is there any protections for victims that don't want information published?
This is anything that is public record that any citizen can go and say, what, and FOIL. We're just making it more transparent.
But what if a victim didn't want it published?
I'm not sure.
Because I'm just concerned to what some victim advocacy groups might have concerns over. That's my concern.
Chris was very confident and adamant that we are not allowed to request NDAs. I imagine if the person suing the county requested an NDA and got it, that ends it right there.
Did you have something?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, if it were a lawsuit that, and I've been involved in these, that involves sensitive subject matter, such as child involvement, harassment, things of that nature, the plaintiff and the parties jointly can request a seal order from the court. They're not given out regularly, but you can have a case sealed, in which case it's not to be published. So that can be requested to answer your question.
Yeah, because I'm also just thinking, like, outside of that, besides that, just like a DPW crew member doesn't want people knowing how much money he or she settled for.
In an employment case.
Yeah.
But if it was sealed, it's not foilable, correct?
It shouldn't be, but I mean, one hand doesn't always talk to the other, right? Yeah. It'd be sealed in the county clerk's office, and you wouldn't necessarily know what's happening when the clerk of the legislature gets a FOIL request, his office does. Yeah. But
because a legislator under this would be under no legal binding requirements in terms of sharing that information once they received it, correct?
Yeah, and there's nothing prohibiting the county, Clint, correct me if I'm wrong, there's nothing prohibiting the county from entering into an NDA in a settlement. Whether it's enforceable or not is another question.
But right, exactly.
You can certainly
in a lot of cases, Nick, as you know, they get to mediation, and the mediator, both, usually the plaintiffs will ask for it to be an NDA. So, contrary to what was told here, sometimes it's quite a few times it's the plaintiff that asks for the NDA.
Anyone else? Robert?
Yeah, I kind of agree with the minority leader that publishing it on the website might be a little bit too much too soon. So I'd like to make an amendment to end the last resolve, the only resolved at minority council, put a period there, and then eliminate the and contemporaneous, however you pronounce that. I'm sure legal counsel can say it better than I.
Contemporaneously.
There you go. And ending with ulstercountygov.org. Of course, I'd we'd have to get consent of the sponsor to do that.
Oh, I'm down.
I'll second that amendment to start with.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? I still have concerns. I'll vote for the amendment. I still have concerns that I laid out before, but I'll vote for the amendment. Any other comments on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Please note. So further discussion on 553 as amended.
You call a question.
Oh, really? Here.
I don't know.
I thought John wanted to say something.
Yeah.
John, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, I agree with you, John. I've experienced it for my day job where, you know, one putting out information, you are just inviting people to file lawsuits, but also you have employees, that's most of the time where that's going to occur, where they don't want their information out there, but there's no protection now. This is where, you know, unless we can protect that.
But it's amended now where it just goes to the legislature more or less.
That is not a protection for, it's not a protection. Any legislator then could just still go out and put it out on Facebook or wherever. There's no protection still for those who do not want their agreement out there.
Yeah, because I look at it more as something that might prohibit folks from coming forward.
But I will say I do agree that this body should be more informed. I absolutely agree that we should know the details of these cases, but it's not necessarily for the general public. This is, we're representative government. We're supposed to hear sensitive information because it's not for the general public to hear.
But didn't we more or less just take it out of the general public?
But it, technically under this, the legislature would still technically be the public because there's no protections to stop members of the legislature from leaking or disseminating that information.
So the entire executive branch of government can essentially know about something that, for the most part, would probably come from them. But we can't. So if three different people in BPW over 5 years sue, maybe there's an issue. Maybe we should know. It's unbelievable how often we don't power ourselves, but if this is, once again, we don't need to see New World, we don't need to know when we're being sued, we don't need to know what we're paying out, and the people that are getting sued, for the most part, are the ones that get to know.
Lost a little bit.
So, a lot of times, these lawsuits are going to involve departments and the powerful people in the county. Look at who the last couple of lawsuits I was just talking about. Commissioner of Finance, County Executive. The County Executive controls and oversees most of the umbrellas in the county. So they're the ones that are going to be getting sued, and they're the only ones allowed to know that they're getting sued or how much they're paying out.
I mean, those within the legal right to have to know it.
Okay. Or, so you don't think the executive and the deputy executives...
I don't know what information they get. Legislator,
so presumably anything involving a transfer of funds into or out of the county at some point gets accounted for somehow that we in the legislature would have access to, correct?
We usually, in the past, have gotten those numbers when we come to the budget. I've gotten those numbers before
partially. So we would know anything that we paid out directly, but as Clint pointed out, we have an insurance carrier. If they're paying out a portion of this, we won't necessarily know that number.
And can I just add to that? We won't necessarily know each individual payout because it all...
We don't know a line item.
I mean, if the information is there, we would have to know to drill down to get it.
And they might have to do budget transfers to get to it because it's not like we have a, you know, a deep settlement budget line.
Can I just say one more thing?
Please.
Because I think this is kind of lost here. So the county has a $75,000 deductible. That's the old guy's on that. We hire an insurance. We have an insurance carrier. They determine what cases get settled. Contrary to what's believed. You know, the insurance carrier, that's why we pay an insurance premium. They hired law firms. They determined what to set, whether or not we settle, whether or not we go to trial. They sit there, and there's times when I don't even know there's a settlement until it's settled.
I have legislative malone.
So we have legislative attorneys who really believe that part of this, just the last settlement, really should have been handled personally and indemnity wasn't to be covered. Who hires, when you think about who is hiring these firms, whether it's Wallens or whatever these firms are, they know who hires them over and over and over and over again. So when certain people in the executive branch of government get sued, guess what? They're going to say it should be covered. Yes, we only covered the first 75. We keep getting sued and settling. That's what's going to cause our premiums to go up, not the idea that there's some transparency around it. But, yes, ultimately, it's all tax dollars.
Again, I just want to point out one more thing to you guys.
Is that okay? Let's set it off. That's fine.
Yeah, okay. There are 23 of you. And if and each one of you gets sued in your capacity as a legislator, I find your law firm to take care of you, right? The law firm, the allegation could be that, you know, just for example, you know, legislator, Ron, you did something and it was malicious.
Let's just say.
No comment.
The insurance carrier will assign counsel to you. If the insurance carrier at some point determines that you did something that was outside the scope of your, then it's going to find counsel separate for you.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to pay for it.
Yep.
But they have to find counsel for you. And if there is a verdict, and the verdict says, you know what? Yes, in fact, legislator Ron, you were malicious, and you acted outside the scope of your authority. And we're gonna award plaintiff $1,000 against you. You have to pay that $1,000. If not, the county pays for it. But we still have to pay for your lawyer.
I experienced a much different representation from the county attorney's office. The county attorney's office drew up charges that ended up being thrown out by the state Supreme Court by a legal vote I made on a union contract that the state Supreme Court agreed with me on. I spent $11,000 of my own money and was not granted indemnity. I should have been, but I wasn't by this county attorney's office. You were not the head person at that point. Maybe you were in the office. Don't know how you felt about it. Didn't feel good, but just so you know, things go differently when you're in the executive branch of government. You get handled and treated differently by our county attorney's office, in my experience. So these things sound nice. It's not always how it plays out.
Joe, I can just tell you, I'm sorry, and before I leave, I try to treat every single one of you and all the departments the same way, my dear. I try not to do anything different and just try to be the best county attorney I can possibly be.
Do you go to everybody's wife's boss when they get elected and warn them about?
We're not going to go into
the wife and the husband.
Let's get back to resolution 550. Hey,
we can have a whole meeting about it, and I'll bring in witnesses.
All right,
you did that.
Back, legislator Maloney.
You're very political.
Back on the resolution. Legislator Rock,
because I'll prove it.
I'd suggest that we have a one-month postponement. There's some questions I'd like to go over with my counsel on ways that we could shield victims a little bit. I agree with where you're getting at with this, and I think that, you know, maybe it's something along the lines of settlements having to do with elected officials or, you know, something of that nature without having, you know, the average county employee, you know, drug into it and other things that the county's involved in. So I agree with the sentiment behind it because, you know, the settlement in question, you know, which was made public, but again by a current private citizen, has been a concern of mine since that employee's dismissal. And the manner it was done and the public way it happened, you know, it to me was ripe for the county being on the hook for, you know, the deductible. And I just, you know, I think that the taxpayers have a right to know when, you know, public conduct like that, you know, costs the county quite a bit of money. So I that's my motion is for a 1 month postponement to explore options to make it a little bit more fine pointed.
Counselor, did you want to speak before we get a second?
Yeah, if I could just make a suggestion, if you're going to take the month, which is probably a good idea, as Ken outlined, that whatever policy is on the table be put in front of our insurance carrier, NIMR, just to make sure it doesn't conflict with the terms of our coverage so that we don't end up losing coverage at some point. Probably doesn't, but I think it would be a good idea as long as you're going to take that.
If I may,
please.
Brian McGregor, I'm the insurance officer for the county. And the carrier's position is that this would be detrimental to the county to have it publicized on a website that anybody can see. It could lend itself to encouraging litigation, copycat lawsuits, especially in things like hostile, toxic workplace, age discrimination, things like that where, oh, he got this amount of money now, I think I can sue for that. So it's just be misconstrued by the public if it's available, everything is available on our site.
It's not available to the public anymore.
So that is NIMR's position. It's not a good idea to be public.
Legislator Gavardis?
Yeah, so I would ask that if we could just get that in writing, that they've actually reviewed the proposed policy.
We'll put that on council.
And ask NIMR to just formally respond. Just we have. Second thing is, maybe there is another way that we could get information, but also limit it at the same time. And I mean, we do have three council that work for the legislature, perhaps maybe it just going to them. And then if any of the three believe that it should be further disseminated to the legislature, then it's done.
They couldn't be given discretion like that. That wouldn't work, but I see where I don't mind tweaking how we get the information, make sure we're careful about it. But I just don't think that'll work.
I'm just
sure
trying
something
to protect,
you guys.
Yeah, I'm just trying to protect, like Jonathan said, the privacy of people. I think this could be weaponized very easily.
All right, so motion to postpone the resolution as amended 1 month has been made and seconded. Any other comments on the postponement? Seeing none, all in favor of 1 month postponement?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, postponed 1 month. Legislator Erner, and I believe Dennis, you're here for this as well. Are you for 551 on the Hudson River? Do we want to take that out of order if that's okay with the committee?
Thanks.
So, can I get a motion for discussion on 551? That's not 551. It's 462. Seconded. I'll open the floor to discussion on 462, adopting local law number 12, a local law providing for the protection and restoration of the Hudson River. Any discussion? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
I'll move for discussion.
We have that. Any discussion? Legislator Erner, did you want to speak?
Sure.
It's too late.
So, many discussions in the past month to report back to you all on the committee. I did speak with several members of the administration, a couple of whom are here. I did speak with one of the public who had from the town of Esopus, who had originally brought this to us and actually opposes the present form, which I can explain in further detail. I will explain where that constituent or that county resident's coming from. And we also have, so the new version before you Do you have in section... do you have this, the paragraph L in... what is this section? I apologize because the latest version online was not... did not include the amendment that I had that had been made and adopted in...
it does now.
...environment. Okay. So... but this committee did adopt that amendment last time. Mm-hmm. The L was about to head of tide, so just to be clear, that's now in there. And Clerk Favella did send me a version that has that in it. I'm not sure if you all have seen it, but I'll pass it around or email it.
Yeah, we have it. I believe it. Okay.
Brilliant. And while we get into the details of what's been discussed, I'll also mention that one of the points of discussion between me and the administration involved Section 7, which is Implementation and Enforcement, Paragraph A. And the administration has proposed language that they're more comfortable with around that, which I can recite to you. I'm comfortable with that change. And
I don't know where he is.
Section 7?
Yeah, Section 7 is Implementation and Enforcement. And it's Paragraph A, which starts, the County Executive and Department of Environment are directed.
Mm-hmm.
So...
they are suggesting what?
So I'll read verbatim what they suggest, which I'm fine with, so that you can see how it differs. The County Executive and Department of the Environment are directed to work towards the implementation of the provisions of this local law in light of the centrality of the river and its resources and services to the health, welfare, and prosperity of the county's residents. The Executive and Department of the Environment shall advocate these policies with the jurisdictional agencies and shall include in their annual departmental report to the legislature each year the progress of the actions supporting the goals of this law. The Executive and Department of the Environment shall recommend to the legislature any measures not currently within their authority, including any technical studies or research to apply these policies or advocate them to the jurisdictional agencies or adjudication of disputes in administrative hearings or judicial proceedings. And I want to apologize that you're just hearing this now. I just received this language this afternoon after discussion yesterday that produced the request for a change. Let me forward this to Clerk Mahl.
Does anyone have any questions on what Legislator Under just said?
I mean, I understand it.
Kind of.
I do. I, you know.
I'm talking about me.
Are there any other potential amendments?
No.
Because unless folks are comfortable moving forward, I would recommend that we just, since we already did the public hearing, we give it the time to have a final version with those amendments being suggested by the executive's office. What does the committee think about that?
Second.
Okay, just I think that would be the cleanest way to do it. But since we already had the public hearing out of the way, I don't believe that any would impact that.
I'm fine with that.
All right. All those in favor of 1 month postponement?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
I don't know.
Postponed 1 month. But I think we'll be good.
Going up top?
Yeah, let's go. Yep.
Well, this is still.
Yes. Everyone's pointing differently.
Okay. If I may.
Yeah, please.
I just want to point out that there is another section of the law that also directs the county planning board to do certain things too, and that still has a shell in it. Thanks. And from my perspective, I serve as staff to the county planning board. We would have some reservations. I know the board has expressed its reservations. We brought this in front of the board at the last meeting, expressed its reservations to its ability to implement the law as currently written.
Well, I ask that you guys, you folks, work on that in this 1 month time. Legislator Erna?
Thank you. Yes, I intend to. Can, through the chair to the planning director, can
sure.
we have some language that you propose around that within the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, my sense is leave the county planning board out of it. That would be my
plan. So you're going to submit a blank page.
There you go.
Well, I'll let yourself and Council Gordon work through that. Do that with them. So let's go back to the top of the agenda. Resolution number 371, motion.
Does Phil have another one?
Yeah.
Oh, Phil has another one. We'll do that one.
I do, yes.
551, yes. Can I get a motion on 551?
That'll be
seconded by Gavaris. Any comments? Legislator Erna, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So this, as you all know, hasn't come before the Committee of Jurisdiction yet, which is Public Works. That's happening tomorrow for the first time. This is the first of... Basically, I had an A through Z list that I went over with Councilor Gucci around different traffic safety measures to protect people, especially who are not motorists on our roadways in the county. And most of what I brought to council was not something we could do in the county, but this is one thing that we could. This would establish basically a right-of-way for the users of public trails where they cross county roads, and then it would further direct the administration to work with other jurisdictions when county trails cross other roads to protect the trail user better. I did have a conversation with the Public Works Commissioner last Friday about this, and I heard his pros and cons, and I can share some of that, or we can hear it from himself tomorrow, I guess. But in summary, he had concerns about rural crossings and the culture being that folks are not going to stop if you ask them to, unless you have a physical barrier. Mm-hmm. One place where I've heard that a county trail is getting such a barrier, I just heard that from him Friday, is the crossing of the trail that's now being extended between Hurley and the city of Kingston over Washington Avenue. There's going to be some kind of actuated gate either that the user presses or maybe happens automatically when the trail user approaches, mm-hmm. Which is, I guess, considered an effective and less expensive option than installing a traffic light. But he was clear about like a physical barrier is his belief would be necessary, not necessarily just a stop sign. He also asked about he asked us to consider particular places where we could implement this to start rather than have it countywide. And so there was a little discussion of that in the Democratic caucus a couple nights ago about some spots. And he also wanted to know some of the statistics and the findings, if those are on county roads or not. And I haven't done that research yet. Let's see what else I have here. I think that's what's pertinent from... that is pretty much what's pertinent.
Thank you. Legislator Litt.
Yeah, I mean, has what you're proposing been checked against either the federal or state MUTCD, which is the Manual of Uniform Traffic Controls?
I knew what it stood for. I knew what it stood for.
Oh, I know. because we cannot supersede either federal or state law with a county either policy or law. So you have to ensure that whatever you're proposing is not in conflict with either the federal or state MUTCD.
I will double check that. Thank you.
Dennis.
So I did have an opportunity to run this proposal through the Ulster County Transportation Council staff in terms of what's being proposed. And the biggest concern here is that trying to grant a right-of-way at a trail intersection, particularly with respect to bicycles, would violate the way motor vehicle law is currently written, which is essentially that bicycles in crosswalks on any street do not enjoy protection in the crosswalk. The only way bicycles enjoy protection in the crosswalk is they have to dismount and walk across. So the idea that they can ride through a trail system without stopping first and then either dismounting and crossing of that nature is simply would not work with respect to what motor vehicle traffic law deals with. The other provisions, which essentially is that stopping in crosswalks, that provision I think would hold, but they're looking at that even further. We really have some issues with respect to how this would work with cyclists.
Legislator Arner.
Okay, so I wanted to respond to that. Thank you. And I appreciate that information coming from UCTC. So I know that this is written in a fairly strong way that would give them the right of way, but I also, from my conversations, for example, with Safe Pass Ulster, this new group advocating for traffic safety for vulnerable road users, I believe I understand from them that it would be fine if everybody had to stop. It wasn't that a cyclist could just blow through the road, but they would stop. The cars would also stop, and so therefore they would presumably dismount if necessary, otherwise they would ride when it was safe to do so.
Planet Doyle.
So we now, by design in our trail systems, we now erect stop signs at these intersections with public roads, and in some instances with private roads when they're well used. We do not have stop signs on county roads or other roads, and you run some risk if you basically make this an automatic stop, no matter whether there's somebody in the road, somebody there or not there. And that's, you're going to encourage people. You're going to create issues with people not expecting to stop. So you're going to have these what I call aha moments where people are not expecting somebody to stop, and they stop anyway because there's a stop sign indicating the trail crossing. And so what has happened in all instances with respect to crosswalks of that nature is there are not stop signs put up at crosswalks. They're literally the idea that if there's someone in the crosswalk, you must yield to them being in the crosswalk. And that's the key here. So you need to think about this in terms of not only with respect to the safety of the vulnerable user, but the safety of someone that is now going to be forced to stop in all instances, whether there's somebody's there or not. Be forced to stop, and what would that happen, what the sight distances are associated with those, all of those things would come into play. And so one of the things that, you know, there's been a really good movement to essentially mark our trail signs and mark crosswalks on those trails, and to make sure that we actually mark the trails themselves, that people are required that there is a stop sign at the trail itself. Those things, I think, are designed to protect the vulnerable road users, and I think continuing in that vein and making sure that those signs are out there and they're visible and they're noticed ahead of time is the proper way to go.
Legislator Litz.
I would suggest to the sponsor that he contact the New York State Department of Transportation Traffic Section and have them give comments on your proposed law, because I believe from what the conversation, there's sections of it that are not allowed. So,
Legislator Roberts,
are you done, Legislator?
Yeah.
Phil, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
How many turf crossings in the county are there on roads? Do you know offhand?
I don't.
More than 5, 10, maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd say 100.
Where trails cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's many.
What's going up?
Yeah,
I can tell you there's none in Plattekill, so. Anyway, you have 25 fatalities, and even one is too many over the last 10 years or so, bicyclists and pedestrians. You also have another over 100 injuries to them. Do you know how many of them happened at a trail crossing?
I don't. I know about the one in Washington in Kingston. I know about the ones in Kingston, which two of which were at trail crossings in the past couple of years. I don't believe the one out Lucas Turnpike in between Hurley and Marble Town was on a crossing. I think that was on Lucas. I'd have to do some research.
That's not necessary, but it's probably a few of these, not the vast majority. I think, you know, I commend you for bringing this forward, getting publicity to it. It's just, you know, good and going to help your cause and your group that you're with. But again, I think it's a solution looking for a problem. There's already, it seems to be, safeguards at all these crossings, or most of them, if I'm correct, Mr. Doyle.
I would never say anything against trying to raise a sense of awareness and improving the markings on crosswalks, make sure we update those crosswalks. There's been a lot of effort in that vein, but my sense is there could always be more. My concern is literally a false sense of security that somehow everybody's going to stop when they won't. And B is a sense that we already have a fairly decent traffic control devices on our trails themselves. The difficulty is making sure that everybody follows that rule of the trail, as well as make sure that the motorists go out there and follow those rules of the road as well. That leads to enforcement questions, it leads to engineering questions, and we're getting better and better at designing trails and designing how those crossings work. I'm just concerned that a blanket law that may essentially not be in accordance with motor vehicle law and how motor vehicle law is treated, that we're going to train people to do one thing and then tell them they're supposed to do another when it comes to a trail.
I share your concerns. Thank you.
Legislator Gavaz.
Yeah, Legislator Roberts took two of the things I was going to say. I mean, statistically, I think the data supports it. And I think this is a solution in search of a problem. I think that, you know, of course, everything could be made safer. But as somebody pointed out to me many years ago when I was on the village board, you can make intersection traffic 100% safe by making 2 minutes between the time the lights change to the time the next one goes. But it's just not practical to do something like that. So we have to balance this between function and safety, and I think the trail users and the trail bike riders share in the responsibility to make sure that they're also operating in a safe manner. I think dismounting the bike, I've seen, not on county trails, but the Open Space Institute, and especially in my backyard, I've seen where they don't dismount. They just ride across the road. They supposedly check for traffic, but they still ride across the road. So I think trail signs and warning up to the actual trail users would be helpful also.
Thank you. I would suggest, you know, it seems like you potentially could be making some significant changes, especially a lot of those changes revolve around potentially more of the jurisdiction of Public Works, which hasn't met yet this month. So I'm not comfortable with it going to a public hearing through this committee until we see what that would potentially look like. So I would motion to postpone 1 month. Well, because also you were going to try and talk to the Trails Advisory Committee, if I remember right, from caucus.
If I could respectfully disagree. I actually think the best action for this committee to do is to take no action.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
because,
no action. Yeah,
because
right,
if we
right.
postpone it, it stays here.
I
think that the
conversation
should happen in public works. So if we don't take any action.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So good with no action.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
So then, All right. Moving now, finally, to the beginning. Resolution 371.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second, I'm just going to ask for a motion to postpone.
I'll make a motion to postpone, although I do support moving this forward before the end of the year with the actual language in Dutchess County.
Exactly. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Postpone.
I'll move 539.
Second. Any discussion? Can't believe our commissioners didn't come join us this evening. Very rude of them.
That is what it is.
Yeah. Any?
They're probably hanging out in their gorgeous triple net lease, digs over there on Hurley. So
just promoting democracy, promoting democracy. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Resolution 540.
I'll move it.
Discussion.
Two resolutions, and they're not here.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Moves unanimously. And then last but not least, 554.
Very happy to move 554.
I'll second that, Leader Runk.
Discussion? Leader Runk?
I mean, we were all present for the meeting last month.
I was not.
Except for you. You missed out. You should watch it. It was entertaining.
Well, that's my goal.
So, we have a long history here in the State Senate, in the State Assembly, in the Congress, of members being able to respectfully, through the chair, ask another legislator a question. I've never seen it shut down, not once, not in committee, not in the floor. It happened twice at last month's legislative meeting. Many pieces of legislation and changes to our rules are born out of something that you don't expect to happen, happening for the first time, and you wanting to shut it down. I believe strongly that legislators should be able to ask each other respectful questions, and legislators can refuse to answer the question, which is perfectly acceptable. I don't believe it's a power of the chairs to be able to shut down a debate that's legal under Robert's Rules of Order and our Rules of Order. And since it doesn't specifically mention this in our rules, I think that we should now specifically mention it, that there is an affirmative right to ask another legislator a question. And I also put in there, because I know people are concerned about time and how many times you spoke, and in my 16 years, I'm sure that I've used up my fair share of time, and two other legislators' fair share of time. I do have a clause in this rule that would have the time that you use asking the question and the legislator's answer counted against your 5 minutes. And I'm open to discussion beyond that.
So I don't have a position yet on this. Like you said, I wasn't at the meeting. I do want to, I've heard brief recaps from different parties, but again, those are just their opinions. So I would like to, I was hoping to discuss this with Gucci today, but he was unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to actually watch the scenario that inspired this legislation. So I do plan on doing that. I just really, I just kind of became aware of this and wanted to hear from our caucus, which did have a large number of concerns.
May I be privy to some of the concerns? I'd love to hear, because I can't fathom a concern to this, so I'd love to hear one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main concerns generated around the germaneness of the questions. And then, you know, just be an onslaught of just potentially random questions taking up legislative time.
I mean,
so the chair should have, just like they do in other bodies in the state, you know, to rule something not on the bill.
This doesn't stop them from doing that. I mean, you know, germaneness is already in our rules. When you have debate, it has to be on the question at hand, and this questioning has to happen on the question at hand as well. I don't think that that interferes with germaneness. I mean, germaneness is present all over Robert's rules. And again, germaneness is also used as a tactic of the majority to stifle the minority. I've seen that, 100 times in the state legislature, Congress, other larger bodies where germaneness is used to stop a controversial subject from being discussed. But this wasn't the reason that the chair shut down debate wasn't on germaneness.
Mm-hmm.
It was on, I believe that the chair's exact words were, I'm not going to allow a back and forth. Word for word, I think.
Committee member.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to share what else, another thing that was said in the committee, that's what...
You mean caucus?
Caucus, yep, that the minority leader just brought up, which was around, we don't do direct debate in session, essentially, which I happen to personally believe that I think... More direct debate in this body would be healthy. That's my opinion. But that was a concern raised.
May I?
Yeah, please.
Just in response to that, that's why questions aren't directed to... So it's not, Legislator Cahill, why'd you say that? It's through you, Madam Chair, to Legislator Cahill, blah blah blah. Yeah, and so it's not a direct debate. You're asking a question through the chair, as Kevin did tonight. I think as Legislator Gavaris did tonight. Others, you know, I respect the concern about a direct debate. And I've endeavored in my 16 years not to do that. I've probably failed a couple of times. You know, tempers get a little hot, but. You know, but that night I directed the question to Legislator Cahill through the chair. Yeah. So again, you know, I could do this all night. I love these discussions. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing I like more than process.
My position is I'll promise to remain neutral, but I just don't want us to be doing a knee jerk reaction at the end of the year to one incident. But I will look into it more. But I can't support it right now.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be willing to postpone.
It needs two readings, so I'd like it to move forward on a first reading now because, you know, otherwise it's not going to get brought up by the end of the year, and then we run out the clock on both the year and me being here. So, you know, if it goes to the floor, there's no debate, there's no vote on it this month, and then it's got to come back up again next month. Just respectfully request at least three members of the committee, but...
Yeah, so the night when it was the vote to affirm the chair's the decision, I voted to affirm it because I actually was looking at Robert's Rules as it started to be discussed, and this is the section I found, which is why I believe that it was the right decision. It says right here, to decrease the danger that debate will become personal, the rules of the debate call for certain formalities of speech that may seem unusual to many people today. The most important of these is that the debate... that in debate you speak as if though you are talking to the chair, not directly to other members. So that's the point is, and as Chair Bartel said, I will allow, I think it was Lecture Roberts to respond, but she said it should go to the chair, she should be speaking to that. This now allows you to go directly through the chair and then having a sort of the back and forth. I agree with debate, and I think we should be having more debate, but it has to be as if you were talking to the chair. I don't think we have that form of government here where you have one aisle versus across from the other and you're having a direct debate.
Mayor, please.
I was looking at the chair when I said, through you, Madam Chair, to Legislator Cahill. I was looking at the chair. So that's what that means. That statement in Robert's Rules means that, you know, when you're talking to another legislator, you talk to the chair. That's what, you know, through you, Madam Chair, to Legislator Cahill, this question. And in the State Assembly, it happens this way. Will, Mr. Speaker, will Legislator Litz yield for a question?
The chair doesn't have to accept to take the message through the chair.
I think that they should. I think that, you know, absent a question on germaneness, which can be addressed without just shutting down a question, you should be able to. I defy you to
find video evidence of one of my personal heroes, Assemblyman Jeffreyon Aubrey, turning down a question from any one of our members, no matter how radical the Speaker pro tem sees them.
I mean, right here in
little old Ulster County, we can't handle a debate that includes questions through the chair, but they can, you know, in Albany. I don't know. To me, we're shutting down democracy, and you know, if the chair, you know, backed up by her supermajority of Democratic legislators, wants to shut down the First Amendment and legislative debate, then that's fine. But I was not okay with what happened last month. I'm still pretty furious about it, and I actually think that your read of Robert's Rules backs up my position, is contrary to it.
Legislator Gavaris.
So I wasn't saying that at all. What I was saying is that the ability to make a statement or ask a question was being allowed. It wasn't being shut down. The point of it was being going directly to another legislator. If the question had been asked, and if that legislator wanted to answer it, there was nothing stopping that person. There was no stopping anybody that night, nor does the rules even allow you to stop it. It was the point of going direct instead. So while
Legislator Roberts may have been consensual in this process last session. That doesn't always, that will not always be the case.
It was me that she shut down. It wasn't Legislator Roberts.
No, I know.
And I was speaking through her.
I'm saying Legislator Roberts was a willing participant. Even if she hadn't or had not shut you down, he still would have been willing to participate. But if it was another legislator who did not want to participate, essentially you're just throwing, you know, you're directing, just for the sake of saying that word, through the chair. In reality, you're just going directly to that legislator. You're using semantics. But that's not what this says here. It's very clear that it's saying as if you were talking to the chair, not through the chair, to the chair. And again, if you say it in general question, throwing it out there to pretty much anybody to answer, then that legislator Roberts could have answered it. I don't see where we're stifling that. It doesn't even say in here that the chair could even have stifled that.
So,
can I answer since...
Legislator doesn't mind waiting.
Well, what I was going to say is formulate your own opinion. Look at the tape. Because I think we are recollecting something different than what happened.
And I think, if you don't mind, Legislator Gavaris is talking about when Legislator Maloney asked the chair...
Yeah, he recognized that.
And to ask me a question, and the chair did not give me the option of answering it. And we had to take a vote to, you know, allow me to answer that. It was a simple yes or no question. And it was kind of a loaded question, I might add, but, you know, I don't think the chair wanted it, my opinion known.
Legislator Ronk?
So when Robert's Rules of Order says, as if you were speaking to the chair, that means that instead of turning to Legislator Cahill and saying, Legislator Cahill, I'm blah, 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 it's you're looking at the chair. It doesn't mean that you can't ask a question of a legislator, but you're speaking to the chair. Speaking to the chair and through the chair are the same thing. Because the chair is essentially a moderator in this in this particular portion of the debate. And that's to ensure that if I'm talking to Legislator Litz and I say, Legislator Litz, I disagree with you. And he says, oh yeah, well, I disagree with you.
And somebody jumps up like they live in Marlboro and start hitting on you. Never mind.
Frank Felicello?
Yeah.
It doesn't disallow a question. It just, in my opinion, and you know, we have a legal expert just walked back in the room. In my opinion, it allows the question, but you have to talk forward instead of laterally. We're talking about Robert's rules, the meaning behind as if you're speaking to the chair. During debate, rather than speaking to another legislator.
Through the chair.
It says to the chair. I was saying that to the chair and through the chair are synonymous in this particular. You don't have to wait if you don't want to.
This is our rules change, though.
Yeah.
So debate should be encouraged.
That's my point of view. But I don't know. I just... If it goes down, it goes down. I'm not going to be here to ask any questions through the chair next year, so maybe I shouldn't care as much as I do, but...
Can I ask, what is the opposition to what I'm saying? Because it does the same thing, except that you're not going direct. You're still asking your question and giving whoever you're asking that question of without actually directing it at them. Where does that not still give you the ability to ask your question and get your question answered? Maybe I'm missing something here.
That's what this does. Through the chair, a member may ask another member a question. So by going through the chair, you're directing your question to the chair, and the chair directs the question to the legislator. That's what through the chair
means. Right, so the quorum would, you know, prevent direct engagement, as you and I are now looking at each other, speaking directly to one another. I would have to say, you know, to the chair, Legislator Gavaris, my question is, where did you get your copy of Robert's Rules from? And I'm not going to speak to you about it and engage you back and forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it provides that sort of a moderated discussion.
But technically the chair would have to say, Legislator Gavaris, do you yield to the question?
Not necessarily. They could. But the legislator could just say, I don't want to answer that question. Hector's done that to me. Mm. I asked Hector a question. He said no, and I said okay. As long as that's up to the legislator, as Legislator Roberts pointed out at the last meeting, the chair didn't ask him if he wanted to answer Legislator Maloney's question, nor did she ask Legislator Cahill if he wanted to answer my question. She just said, "I'm not allowing it," which to me is in violation of our rules currently and Roberts' rules. I was rebuffed when I appealed the rule of the chair. The rule of the chair was sustained, which isn't surprising. She's elected by a group of people. It's not surprising that they would stand behind her. But, you know, this to me was a big enough issue that I decided right then and there that I was going to bring a resolution forward to ensure that debate, when I'm here or not in this legislative body, is allowed to continue without a tyranny of the majority.
Do you want to speak?
Just, yeah, no, real quick. So, related to names, so it says here also, as much as possible, avoid using the names of other members in debate. So, shouldn't be using names anyway. That's right out of the book here. But again, I asked my question again because I still haven't gotten the answer. What precludes you from asking a question without directing it to a specific person and getting that question answered with the way our current rules are set up?
Are you saying just like ask a question of the room?
It's probably not an actual question to, you know, give an example of, but
who had eggs for breakfast today?
No. It's got to be related to the subject, of course. That's germaneness, but I'm trying to figure a way to. You wanted to know Legislator Roberts' opposition to, we're talking about landfills, and you wanted to know Legislator Roberts' opposition to landfills in Plattekill. If you wanted to know that question, you would say, "Madam Chair, I would like to know what opposition there is to landfills in Plattekill, if anyone could answer that." And then Legislator Roberts can answer it. It's not going through the chair to directly to Legislator Roberts, but the question's been asked, and there's an opportunity to be answered. That's where I'm sort of...
So my concern with that is that I think it actually, I think that that actually opens it up. So if the chair's reason for not allowing questions is she didn't want it back and forth, to me that allows a free for all. You know, you could have 10 people answer that question. And
I think you should.
All right. But again, you know, if the goal is a structured meeting, which I believe was the reasoning that the chair had for not allowing what she referred to as a back and forth, I think that that actually makes it 10 times worse. I don't agree with your read of that. And you know, the fact that it's listed specifically as through the chair, I don't know what the problem is. So we're not directing something at a legislator. Limiting the use, I agree with, of legislators' names. That's like saying, you know, I don't know why, I don't know why Phil or Legislator Erner, however we're going to say it, but I think it's more like, using it colloquially, like Phil or John, you know, and saying, you know, Phil really cares about these pedestrians and really hates cars. You know, I just don't understand why Phil hates cars so much. You know, I think that that is what Roberts' rules speak to there. And again, they have Roberts' rules that comes with analyses from experts in order and meetings law that I could try to find. We're really, I think, trying to find the meaning behind the words, not necessarily the words themselves. But I don't think, through the chair to Legislator Litz, I don't think that that's, you know, what they mean by, you know, not wanting to use legislators' names. At that point, you're using a title and the last name, and you're referring to them with respect. It's more of a decorum concern, I think, when you start, you know, using their name in terms of disrespect.
Well, I'm at the same position. I'm happy to support no action or postponement. But I still, I've been here for 8 years. I don't believe this has been a perverse problem.
It was a very perverse problem at the last meeting.
And then,
you don't know what's
you
a
know,
problem.
Many of those years under the current chair, so I'm not prepared to support such a quick response. Happy to review the tape, but and have further discussions. But, I mean, as you know, Legislator Ronke and I have spent literally hours on in meetings fine-tooth combing through the rules of this legislature.
Yeah.
So I'm not prepared at this point.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to postpone, which I'm going to vote no on.
Okay.
So, may I speak on the postponement?
Sure.
You know, are we allowed? You know, are we allowed friendly bets or gambling? Because I'd like to make a friendly bet on whether or not your
I support legalized
watching whether you're watching the tape is going to change your mind in a great way.
I've heard
but,
so many different versions. I just wanted to see who's closest to the truth.
Again, you know, I will go ahead of your watching the tape and say that I was so taken aback that I was momentarily unreasonable to the chair, which I apologize for later, but was widely reported in the paper.
No,
but I was stunned because I could not believe that something to me so fundamental to debate in such an auspicious body as ours was being thwarted by an authoritarian ruler. So, you know, and I will tell you this, that my interactions with Chairwoman Bartels, and I've said this to her face, so I have no problem saying it on tape here for my constituents and others to listen to. You know, I believe her to be the least fair to the minority party of any chair that I've served under. In both times when she's been chair, prior to, you know, we call it before Dave and after Dave, you know, BD and AD.
Yeah.
So, I, that's all I'll say.
Those comments, though, further hit my concern of the reasoning behind this resolution versus the actual threat to the legislature at the moment.
It's no threat to me. I'm going to allow members of the town board to kind of
has been extremely open and collaborative, especially amongst chairs I've worked with. So,
he knows it's growing.
On the postponement,
yeah, second.
I think Gavaris. I am all in favor. Yes. Opposed. So the postponement fails. On the resolution, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Resolution
Shocking.
Fails.
Tyranny of the majority continues here in Ulster County. It's all right, maybe we'll make some headway on it.
Technically, this was the tyranny of the tie.
Well, you're in the majority party of the legislature.
And there's two and two here.
anybody who thinks it would be different if Legislator Levine were here, stand on your head.
We'll only ever know.
I could ask him. We can call him.
You might get two different answers.
I have any old business. I have a little bit of new business I just want to flag for the committee. So there's no old business. This new business, we'd like folks, and we can get folks can individually get back to Jay, but if you have anything just to think of with the Charter Revision Commission, would it be the will of the committee? Obviously, they'll give us recommendations, but that's what they are, recommendations. But obviously, this is the main committee of jurisdiction. Having a special meeting around that once we have those recommendations. And
can I ask questions of other legislators during such meetings?
Hey, I'm probably going to feel real generous that day.
Then I'll be here.
Yeah. So I'll work with Jay to coordinate that, and we'll get back to folks with dates if that sounds favorable to you all.
Keep in mind that the three of us here are in the Ways and Means, we're going to be burdened with...
Exactly, so I want to be sensitive to that.
It's not a burden, it's a responsibility.
Yes, the most important.
You guys burdened me with it.
All right, so just look out for an email from Jay on that. Anyone else? Motion to adjourn.
I'll make that.
Second.
All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.